A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on April 25, 1993. In the series, Faith in Jesus, Trust in God, entitled The Human Face of God. The scripture reading is Acts 3, verses 11 through 24. The text for the sermon is Acts 3, verses 14 through 15. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
We made a switch at Easter. We moved from the consideration of the faith of Jesus to a consideration of faith in Jesus on the part of that early community that gathered around Jesus. The switch was a switch from examining how Jesus believed, which shaped how he lived, which caused his death, to an examination of how those around him who had been impacted by him, who had experienced the faith of Jesus, came to put faith in Jesus. The Christian movement, which only gradually differentiated itself from the Jewish community, the Christian movement is characterized by those who put faith in Jesus. And so, with a little switch of the preposition from the faith of Jesus to faith in Jesus, we move out of Lent and into Eastertide and try to get a handle on how that early community came to view Jesus as the unveiling of God. Jesus had been a faithful Jew. He lived within the context of the covenant of grace. He knew no God except the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he had no intention to do anything but to speak to that covenant community and to speak to them of their God, of the nearness of their God, of the graciousness of their God, and calling them to trust in that God. He was a threatening figure. His destabilizing ways undercut the established shape of things, the temple and the priesthood, the political, the religious structures. And so he was crucified. And it would have appeared that he was simply one more in that line of prophets which had characterized the history of Israel. One would stand and speak for God and would bring upon himself the wrath, particularly of the leadership of the community, and would end up a martyr for the faith. Jesus himself spoke about that whole line of the prophets that had been killed. And so it might have appeared that Jesus was simply one more of those, and he had made his proclamation, he had made his call, he had been obedient to God, and he was killed. But there was something different this time. This time, his followers became conscious of the fact that the one who had been crucified was alive. Not in some bodily form. Unfortunately, in our Christian tradition, in order to affirm the reality of resurrection, sometimes we have spoken about the bodily resurrection, and there is not a bodily resurrection. That corpse laid in the tomb didn't suddenly resuscitate and walk out of the tomb. Jesus is spoken of as appearing. When Paul lists the resurrection appearances, sometimes to an individual, sometimes to a group, he also includes the appearance to himself, and we know that was a vision. The appearances of Jesus were the inward experiences of those who sensed that the crucified one was alive and present and powerful, not in an ongoing historical, bodily, human existence, but that God had raised this one to another dimension of life or reality, but a dimension of life and reality in which he was experienced as personally, powerfully present. Still active, still alive, still with them. So, those who had been with him throughout his life, who had understood gradually the faith of Jesus, came to believe that in him God had done some unusual thing, that God had vindicated the way of Jesus, that God had authenticated this one as God's servant, that God had said yes to Jesus' faith and Jesus' way and Jesus' call. And so the followers around Jesus and the experience of Jesus living in their midst, spiritually alive, began to put their faith in Jesus. Now, in the beginning, they had no sense of separating from the temple or from the Jewish community. For example, in the story I read a moment ago, Peter and John in the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, are making their way to the temple to pray. They were good Jews. They were going to pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the God of the covenant, the God of covenant grace. They didn't know any other. They went there to pray and to praise God, and they went there with a sense that this one who had been crucified was with them also. And they came to a cripple by the gate called Beautiful, and he was placed there every day by friends so that he could beg for alms. Not a bad place to beg for alms, you see. People coming to church, looking for a way to look as good as possible, flip them a coin, come into the altar and feel a little bit justified. So it was a pretty good place to pick up a nickel or a dime. This time, Peter and John come by. He holds out his hat. And they say, "We don't have silver and gold." And he says, "Then you're not worth much. Get out of the way so somebody can come. Because it's really the bottom line." No. Peter says to him, "Look at us." Catching his attention. He says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And the man stands up and walks. He begins to leap and to praise God. And he goes into the temple. And the people see him as the one who had always been there day after day. The lame, the crippled, the handicapped one, leaping and praising God. And they are astounded. And this gives Peter an occasion to bear witness to what had just happened. And so, he says to them, "Why are you so amazed? Why do you wonder and stare at us as though through our power or our piety this man was made to walk? No," Peter says, "the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus." You see, Peter and John, after Easter, and after Pentecost, this is after Pentecost, to actually In Luke, Pentecost comes 50 days after Easter. In John's Gospel, Pentecost is Easter Day because Jesus meets with the disciples and breathes on them and says, "Receive the Spirit of God." It doesn't really matter. The point is, this is a story that happens in the wake of Easter and in the presence of the Spirit. And Peter says, this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God of Israel. This is the God whom you are all here to worship. It is this God who has healed this man. But notice, this God healed the cripple in the name of Jesus. So we have in the story. He says, "You rejected the holy and righteous one. You killed the author of life." In the New English Bible, I like the translation a little bit better. It says, "You killed him who has led the way to life." You killed him who has led the way to life. But God raised him up. Now he says, "And by faith in his name." His name. The name stands for the person, for the reality, for the essence. The name equals the person in biblical thought. The name of God is the essence of God, the power of God, the person of God. And the name of Jesus is the person of Jesus. He says, "Now, by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know." And the faith that is through Jesus, see, the faith that is through Jesus has given him perfect health in the presence of you all. Now that's rather interesting, because you can see here in the immediate aftermath of the explosion of Good Friday and Easter, that the disciples are sorting out what in the world is happening. This one who's crucified, they think it's all over, and it's not over. The crucified one is living. The crucified one then has been vindicated by God. God has said yes to this one. So this one was right. This one is still with us. Now, Peter says, a cripple is healed by the power of God through this one. Oh, what's going on here? I don't know. I don't think they knew. Except for Peter and John, representative now of that early apostolic community, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of David, the God of covenant grace, the God of Sinai, the Creator, this one now seems to be accessible or available through Jesus. Jesus becomes, as it were, a handle on God. How do you image God? How do you imagine God? Do you draw a picture in your mind? Maybe it's off the cover of an old Sunday school leaflet of your childhood. Were you ever in a group therapy session or whatever, a seminar or something where they had you maybe lie on your back? I remember one instance where I had to lie on my back, breathe deeply, close my eyes, visualize a huge white screen, and then let images tumble. Maybe somebody was reading something and you had to let images tumble. The only thing I ever see on that white screen is a whiteout. One time I saw a whole flock of white doves. I never see anything. I don't visualize very well. Some people visualize very well. But how do you visualize God? How do you bring God near? How do you get in touch? I mean, God. The eternal God, incomprehensible, beyond our human ability to comprehend, apprehend, that God becomes for us available, visible in Jesus. Jesus becomes the human face of God. God draws near to us in Jesus. Peter and John say to this cripple, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. But they claim that the healing is not the power of Jesus, it's the power of God. It's not as though Jesus now comes as a secondary God or as in competition with God, but Jesus becomes, as it were, the conduit. Jesus becomes the mode of access. Jesus is the one who brings God near. Jesus is the one who draws us into the mystery that is God. Jesus becomes the medium for the experience of God. There was no reason for a Christian church at this point. And Peter and John, I think it would have been the farthest thing from their mind if you had said that they were going to be disciples of an eventual institution called a Christian church over against the Jewish community of faith. They were simply responding to an overwhelming experience. Now, in this very early, those who study this thing tell us that probably this is the earliest attempt to give some kind of formulation to that relationship of Jesus to God. And it's obvious here, Jesus is not God. Jesus is God's servant. Jesus is one in whom God dwelt. And Jesus becomes one through whom God's power is mediated. I think Jesus might have been very comfortable with Peter and John bringing the power of God to bear on that cripple through his name, because Jesus represented God as a God who heals us, the God of the abandoned, the God full of compassion, the God who forgives us, the God whose power is available to us. So I think Jesus probably would have been comfortable with that. I'm not so sure Jesus was comfortable with what eventuated down another few decades and another couple of centuries, where Jesus is elevated and elevated and elevated and elevated until Jesus is God. In the creeds of the church, the early creeds of the church, this human servant of God, Jesus, is continually elevated until Jesus becomes God, and for Christians becomes the focus of worship and the focus of prayer. And I'm not sure that that development would have been in accord with the intention of Jesus. There are enough evidences in the New Testament itself, that Jesus always deferred to the Father. Jesus never arrogated to himself the prerogatives of deity. Jesus was the servant. Jesus was the proclaimer. Jesus was the revealer. Jesus, in his life, showed the way, spoke the truth, offered the life. But in the development within the Christian church over the first 4.5 centuries, the development moved from this kind of conception to a higher and higher and higher raising of Jesus, to where, and this is in preparation for Trinity Sunday down the way in a few weeks, where in popular conception we almost have 3 gods. I don't know if it's possible to hop back over those centuries and over those creedal formulations to get back to something like this, but sometimes I think we'd be better off if we could be right where Peter and John were at the Gate Beautiful. If we could say to the cripples, to the broken, to the outcasts, to those who are lost, if we could say, look at me. In the name of Jesus, God's servant, stand up and walk. You see, what Jesus made available was the presence and the healing power of God. I don't do much with science fiction things, but once in a while, inevitably, you see a clip on the screen, and I'm always amazed at these laser guns, you know, where it goes, gotcha, gotcha. You just sort of decimate somebody with a beam of light. Well, actually, in the creation story, God creates light first of all. And maybe God is light. Maybe God is electricity. Maybe God is energy. Maybe the whole universe, the whole cosmic scheme of things, and our bodies, our whole beings, maybe we are bundles of energy that can be zapped by God. And heal. So then maybe it's no big deal that somebody who hadn't walked in years suddenly becomes zapped in the name of Jesus with the power of God, and the man stands up and walks. It still happens today. There are still healings today. Everybody can't do it, but some can do it. Some have a gift of healing. Some with the laying on of hands seem to communicate an energy that enlivens and makes whole. We live at this poor dying rate while all around us the world is pregnant with God's power and presence. I think that's what this post-Easter story would tell us. That those who have been encountered by Jesus as alive experience the presence of God, who is a God who heals us, a God who can make us whole. And so we live, most of us, do we not, begging outside at the gate, when we could be in praising God in the temple. Most of us are cripples. Most of us are dragging around so much baggage and garbage, and we hold tightly to our lives when someone needs to say to us, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. What do you need to be healed of this morning? What are you holding on to this morning? What is dragging you down this morning? What is defeating you over and over again? The lesson of the morning tells us of the risen one, whose power is the power of God, whose name is a name that releases and sets free. Jesus is the human face of God. God has come that close to us. That is really what the church was trying to say when it said that Jesus is God. It was really bearing witness to its conviction that God was in Jesus. To be in touch with that one was to be in touch with God. Reach over next to someone and grab a hand, and you will be grabbing the hand of flesh, which is enlivened by God. God, who dwells in our flesh. So as someone said, to love another person is to see the face of God, to experience another is to come into the arena where God is. So what healing do you need this morning? Jesus is the human face of God. God is like Jesus was. God is that close. God is that available. If only we could divest ourselves of all of our protective layers and say, zap me with light eternal and heal me that I may be whole. To come to God through Jesus, it just makes it more tangible and concrete. It just brings God down to our size. But it is God. Thank God. God with a human face. That's a God you can love.